And yes, it's that time of week again. It is time for Portsmouth Authors Collective Book Club with myself and Laurie. Good morning, Laurie.
Good morning, Bob.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
Good stuff. So, we always start with a guest author. And today, it's going to be you.
Woo! I know.
And we'll be talking about missing words. So let's just set the scene a little bit. Laurie Westrom grew up in Idaho, but at the age of 17, she met her future husband while cycle touring in California. 2 years later, she dropped out of university to ride her bike and travel the world with him full time. After settling in the UK, she gained an MA and a PhD in creative writing and taught for a number of years at Portsmouth and Chichester universities. 18 months ago, after publishing her first book, Missing Words, she set up the Portsmouth Authors Collective. And today we're going to be talking about Missing Words, Laurie's book, which I have read, and I'll just give you a little brief on that. Jenny's life is at a crossroads. Since the sudden death of her youngest daughter, her marriage has grown silent, and she worries she is no longer needed at home. At the Royal Mail sorting office where she works, her position is equally precarious. Her boss has made it clear he wants her out. Undermined at home and at work, Jenny longs for the life that might have been. So when a postcard with an urgent message and an incomplete address lands on her sorting table, she does the unthinkable. Yes, she slips it up her sleeve and sets off on her bicycle to deliver it herself. Laurie, I've read the book, so I'm kind of laughing inside a little bit because I know the full story now.
Oh, very good. And well done on finishing the book, Bob.
Didn't take long, did it?
No. That must have been record speed.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's open up about this. As I've said to you before, I find that book reading is it's a sleeping pill to me. But I finished reading your book Sunday morning, got up really early, thought, right, must get Laurie's book finished, knew I was going to have a busy day, and I read first thing in the morning, and it was a revelation to me.
I have started reading in the morning as well, because, you know, I have the same issue that if I read before I go to bed, I do find, you know, that my eyes start, you know, because it's the end of the day, I'm tired anyway, and it's a relaxing activity, I think, reading. And so, yeah, I think it is a good way for people to wind down and relax before going to sleep. So, yes, I think reading in the morning is very good if you're wanting to, you know, make progress with a book or, you know, make sure that you don't nod off.
Absolutely. I was really, really surprised to find that, you know, I could read 30, 40, 50 pages without feeling tired.
Well done.
Yeah, that's good. Anyway, so I've finished the book and now understand the title, Missing Words, which let's talk about that quickly before we get into the nitty gritty.
Yep.
You named the book something else before the publisher got hold of it.
I did. I had quite a long title, which was something like Gathering Fragments of Something or Other. I can't even remember what it was now.
Yeah, and I do remember you saying before that you were a bit miffed that the publisher wanted to change the title.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, there's a saying about you've got to kill your darlings in writing circles, and that means that, you know, sometimes there are those characters or other elements of your book that you love, but that just don't work.
And the title is important to you.
Oh, yeah.
You came up with.
To me, that original title meant something. But when the publisher said, not so sure about this, I went away and, you know, did a little bit of brainstorming. And I thought, actually, no, I think Missing Words says what I want it to say.
And having read the book, it ties in nicely.
Thank you.
So, okay, let's get into it. Yours is quite a short book. It's only 160 pages, much shorter than other books we've looked at on the book club. You call it a novella, and isn't that just another word for a short novel?
A lot of people do call it that, a short novel. Yeah, a novella is basically a fiction book that is roughly 20 to 40,000 words in length. The definition and the word length does vary from place to place, but that's kind of a rough guide. They usually have fewer characters that you're following in the story, a little bit less complicated in structure, so they don't have all of subplots and so forth that you might have.
And I would say, having read Missing Words, that it is just that. There isn't loads of characters, and you can lock into all of those that are there.
I started out as a short story writer. When you're writing short stories, you're basically really focused in on one main character, and that's the person that you really care about in a short story. And you're looking at a very brief moment in time, a period which is able to be captured beginning to end in a, you know, the length of a short story. So 3,000 words or so.
Sure.
A novella is similar in that it has a narrow focus and generally as well also has a shorter period of time than a novel, although we know that there are novels out there that do take place in a single day. James Joyce, Ulysses takes place in a single day. So there are always exceptions.
The book was set in 1984. Is there anything special about that year?
So I knew that the story needed to be set in the past. You know, today we've got instant communication with emails and text messages and WhatsApp and all of that. And I wanted it to take place before that. So, you know, there's a postcard at the center of the story, which is really important to the story. That type of communication is really important to the story. So originally it was set in 1979, the year that Mrs. Thatcher was first elected. But I moved it forward to a year after her second election, 1984, when a lot of her policies were really beginning to have an impact on the country. I wanted the turmoil that Jenny feels to be mirrored by the kind of general turmoil that was happening in the country at the time. There was high unemployment, nearly 12% in 1984. That's the highest it's ever been. So there was a lot of job insecurity at the time, which again is really important to the setting and the plot of the story. There were the miner strikes. You know, we're far away enough from that period of time now that we kind of have let that history fade a little bit into the background. But, you know, the miner strikes, Mrs. Thatcher, her attempts to break the unions and her word battles with Arthur Scargill. I think anyone who was here at the time will remember that quite vividly. And of course, there was the women's peace camps at Greenham Common as well. So there was a real general feeling of unrest and insecurity in the country.
Yeah, and having read the book, I get everything that you've said there. And having said that, Laurie, I get it totally. Having read the book, I understand exactly where you're coming from. Would you call Missing Words a historical fiction then?
Well, yes, I would actually. Most definitions of historical fiction, though, say that it needs to be set at least 50 years in the past.
And this is what, 40?
Yeah, so this is 40 years in the past. I think it would fall within that historical fiction category simply because the world has changed so much.
Hasn't
since
just,
that time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we really are in a very different space now than we were in the 1980s. And I think that a lot of that history has kind of faded into the past. You know, we're now living with the results of that history.
So for that reason, it could be called historical.
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. What inspired you to write the book? I like to ask all the authors that, and I kind of know the answer, but of course our listener won't. Go for it.
Well, I worked at the Royal Mail sorting office in Slindon Street for a period of time, which is where Jenny works in the book. I was just there for a couple of years. Oh, I don't know. The turn of the millennium, somewhere around there. One of the things that I think everyone did was we were working the night shift sorting mail. And, you know, you see a nice postcard from summer holidays come through the post and you have a bit of a look. And so the kind of idea of postcards and also dead letters. Now, dead letters are basically letters, postcards that have been incorrectly addressed, so they are not able to be delivered in the standard way, and they would be sent to the dead letter office, which at the time I think was in Belfast. In Jenny's time, the dead letter office was located in the sorting office here in Portsmouth. I found that activity of sorting posts to be quite meditative, and that's kind of how the story began to grow. Is I would be sorting posts in the evening, looking at postcards, and things just kind of start to gel and come together.
Yeah, it's difficult for me to. No, it's not difficult. I've just got to be careful what question I ask, because I know the full story in the book now, and I don't want to give too much away. It's definitely worth the reading, getting to that last page. And so you did work in the Royal Mail, and I guess that must have happened by the way that the book is written. And are you Jenny, and have you ever stolen a postcard?
So a few people have asked me if this is my story, if I am Jenny, and no, I'm definitely not Jenny. We've got a few things in common, but no, I'm definitely not Jenny, and no, I never stole a postcard.
Right, but
or anything else.
But you do ride a bike.
I do ride a bike.
Okay, the book is set here in Portsmouth and on the Isle of Wight. And how important is the location in your story?
So I think the location is really, in my mind, quite crucial to the story. And you know, for me personally, I love books that are set firmly in a specific location. Landscape novels is what they're often called. I love that kind of immersive feeling of being swallowed up by the surroundings. But I'm also interested in the way Jenny has to go away from home in the story. And initially to find the rightful recipient of the postcard, but also to find answers to her own troubles.
That's what I like about it, the twists and turns.
I think, you know, there is kind of a tradition of people going off on a journey, and that journey is, you know, is an emotional journey as much as it is a physical journey, and that is the case with Missing Words.
Again, I don't want to give anything away, but it has to be read to know exactly what we're talking about. Laurie, let's leave that there, and let's play your chosen song, which is Queen and Bicycle Race. And back with part two of Portsmouth Authors Collective, talking to Laurie Westron about her book Missing Words, and we pick up now.
It's set here in Portsmouth. Jenny lives in Portsmouth, works in Portsmouth, but she goes away to the Isle of Wight. The Isle of Wight, in this sense, is another world. Those of us who have been there and spent time on the Isle of Wight probably identify with that. You know, it is a different world from Portsmouth.
In lots of ways.
Yeah. So I think the Isle of Wight is kind of a neutral space for Jenny to contemplate and resolve her problems. And also, cycling can be a very meditative activity, so it gives her the room to think without all the chaos that's going on in her ordinary world. So that's really important as well, that she has left her ordinary world and is allowed that freedom and space to think. Of course, to get there, she has to cross the Solent. In the book, it's a liminal space. It's neither here nor there. In a literary sense, that's really important too.
Yeah, I picked up a piece in the book, actually. It's funny you should pick on the Solent, chapter 6. And if I may just read a little bit, because I loved the way this fell out of your pen and onto a piece of paper at one point in time. And I just love this. It is Saturday morning, the start of the bank holiday weekend, and this time she is taking the car ferry to Fishbourne. A few miles to the west of Ryde, a veil of fog hangs over the water, and the seam between sea and sky crafted anew each morning. It's stitched so finely that from the bow of the ship, Jenny cannot tell where one ends and the other begins. Everything is white and empty and thick with silence. I just love that.
Well, and that is a liminal space, you know. Yeah, she's kind of out there in the middle of nothing.
It sounds like we've set this up, and in fact we haven't. That's the page that I bookmarked yesterday morning, having read your book. It's really weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Great. Laurie, a lot of books in the collective are self-published, but you've got a publisher, is that right?
Yeah, Fairlight Books. They have a series called the Fairlight Moderns, which are all novellas.
Wow. We've talked about this before, but would you say that having a traditional publisher has been an asset?
For me, yes. I think it has definitely been an asset, just because I don't necessarily have all the skills that are needed to promote and to
the marketing
to market and all of the other things. So a traditional publisher will give you an advance on royalties. You don't have to pay for anything.
Sure.
You know, which...
I suppose that's the thing. Self-publishing is great because you're totally in control, but you've got a lot of upfront expenditure.
You do. And some people don't spend any money on self-publishing. They don't spend money on editing and cover design. But the real asset to me, I think, for having a traditional publisher is the validation that comes with it. And having somebody else in the industry who believes in it and is willing to take a chance on it and put their money behind it, for me, that was really important.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
And the confidence in that.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I loved the story, but when somebody else said they loved the story and were willing to back it, just gave me a lot more confidence.
Yeah, and you used a great word, validation, and that's what it is for yourself, isn't it? Was it difficult finding a publisher, and how long did it take?
So, yeah, it was actually very difficult. I think that part of the issue is the fact that it is a novella. It is a short novel, and a lot of publishers don't publish novellas.
Is that for economic reasons?
Yes. Right. Even though there are a lot of classic novellas out there, in today's economic climate, publishers are
wary,
risk averse.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, absolutely. The novella was shortlisted for a few competitions, and that, you know, kept me engaged with it. I felt it was worth publishing, and so I persevered, but it did take a long time to find a publisher. I was kind of at that point where I was ready to give it one last go, and then I was preparing to self-publish. A friend showed me a submission call from Fairlight Books. I thought, right, okay, I'll send it out again. And I did. I received a response from them saying they really loved it. However, it was a little bit short, and they asked me to expand it by about 50%. I thought the story was finished. They asked me to lengthen it by a further 10,000 words. And, you know, the rest is history.
Yeah. And would you go through that lengthy process again? Or now that you've been working with so many self-published writers, would you consider going down that route yourself?
Well, you know, I might. This is something that I've thought about quite a lot, because I have gotten to know so many people who have self-published and self-published successfully. And, you know, so I've learned a lot from the other members of PAC. I would seriously consider it now.
But would that be by turning your back on your publisher?
Well, I think I would contact my publisher and I would offer them the next book.
I get it.
I'm not sure that the next book is something that they would necessarily be interested in, however.
You never say no.
Well, no. I will definitely, you know, give them a call and see what they think. But, you know, I think that I might test the waters of self-publishing with a couple of other projects that I've got going at the moment, and just see if I'm able to self-publish in a way that satisfies me, that makes me reach my goals. And, you know, so I will seriously consider it.
Okay, Laurie, as we always say, everything comes to an end, and we've been chatting quite a lot today, but let's just explain where your book is available and, who's stocking it locally.
Yeah, so locally it's available from Pigeon Books on Albert Road and at New To You Books in Cosham High Street. It can also be ordered from any bookshop, and it's available from the usual online booksellers, and it's also in the local libraries. I think every local library here in Portsmouth will have a copy.
So there we go. That was a repeat from January this year of Laurie Westron's book, Missing Words. And chatting to Laurie, who is the founder of Portsmouth Authors Collective. Next week, runs as normal. We will have another fresh author in to talk about their new release. We don't need